Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning. We just give you thanks for the opportunity to be here on this beautiful Sunday morning together in worship and friendship and love, together on this Palm Sunday as we truly do, as Stacy said, as we celebrate your arrival this morning. We are forever grateful to have this opportunity in our lives and to be awake and to be spirited and filled with your Spirit this morning. I ask that you lift these words up off of the page and share with us in the message. Help it to nourish our spirit and our soul as we disciple for you and as we follow you in this world. Be with us this day and be with us through this message and this scripture reading and also through this worship service and the glory of your music and celebration on this given Palm Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to be in the same passage, John 14. We're going to read it all the way through to 12. Actually, we're going to finish in about 4. Well, we'll finish in 14, but it goes through 12, but it's just another sentence. So I'm going to finish it all the way through. So I will be in the New Living Translation. So here are the words of God, literally the words of Jesus Christ. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you, and I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me wherever I am, and you'll know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't know, Lord, said Thomas. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus said, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me, who I do work through, and he does through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe, because of the work you have seen me do, believe this. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, Jesus says, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning, church. It is a glorious Sunday morning. Welcome back to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning, on this beautiful Palm Sunday. You know, I envision that today's beauty is much like that glorious day when Jesus came riding along in Jerusalem. Today marks a very special day for us as Christians. It is one we celebrate with great joy. However, our joy will be short-lived, but while we have it for this short period of time, let us relish in that moment today. Let us celebrate the opportunity to be together and to celebrate Christ and Christ's coming in this way. With that said, I do want to make sure that we all understand what makes it joyful and so very important in our lives. What makes this day so important? And why Jesus Christ? Why do we celebrate that specifically today? That journey that he takes. You know, I remember back years ago, my parents were entertaining friends from another state. I really didn't know them at all, but Dad knew them as as he had contacts with colleagues throughout his business model in different places that they worked. And my dad was a logistics supervisor, manager, terminal manager, and so he had people all over the Eastern Seaboard, basically, in his company. And so they were entertaining these friends, and you know, I didn't know them at all. And but we, when they came and spent some time with us, they took a joyride around our beautiful community that we lovingly have the opportunity to call home. And you know, we traveled up and onto the parkway and around, and we ended up downtown Stanton. And I have no idea how I got invited to this trip, but I was in the vehicle with them, and I'm really not sure to this day while I was there, but I'll never forget it. I remember my dad's friend asking him, now we're downtown Stanton after we've been on the parkway and all through the county of Augusta, by which you know to be the second largest county, rural county in Virginia, so lots of territory traveled that day, and here we are downtown Stanton, and I remember my dad's friend saying, Danny, how do we get out of this town in all these one-way streets? Dad laughed and said, you think it's bad in the car? Try bringing a semi-truck or a dump truck down these streets. And my dad's friend said, nope, not going to happen with me. Then my dad said something I don't think I'll ever forget. He said, sure, you can do it. Just don't turn the wrong way on the wrong street. Ever since then, when I reflect on Stanton, I always think about my dad's statement, Stanton's one-way streets. Many people visit this beautiful city every year, and tens of thousands of people live there. And I, you know, until COVID happened, I never heard a soul complain about the one-way streets. And I've lived here, my birthday in May will be 52 years. I never heard a soul. Now, after COVID happened, we had a little marketplace experience, which now they now repeat. So they shut down one of those one-way streets, and it's shut down for an open market or like an outdoor mall. People don't like that too much. A lot of people love it, but it does change the way they travel. They have to navigate themselves around what they have become accustomed to during the winter months on that one-way street. Everybody, you know, seems to, over my lifetime, have just accepted and trusted that what my dad told his friend is, don't take the wrong turn, it's a one-way street, and it'll lead you, regardless of whether you think it will, it's going to lead you out of town to your destination. Today we celebrate the joy of our Savior riding into town. I call your attention to this ride. This ride you see is a one-way street. Or perhaps better said, it's a one-way ticket for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the outcome of this one-way ticket, or this one pass-through, is our round-trip ticket to life and salvation. As we talked about in the youth message, it's only if we follow my dad's advice, though, that we get to experience this one-way street. We don't turn down a side street. We don't think we can navigate ourselves in life better than Christ can navigate us. We stay the course with Him. Using my dad's advice, don't take the wrong turn and don't get off the street. Jesus came in on a one-way street through the gate of mercy into Jerusalem on this day, and He will leave on a one-way street called Via Dolorosa, meaning sorrowful way. And for me and you, just in a few short days, He'll take that Via Dolorosa street to Calvary. And because He chose to come into town through a gate and leave to an altar of crucifixion, you and I are saved. You see, He didn't take a side street. Even when he was given the opportunity to save himself, to call a host of angels in to change the world, he didn't. Because of you and me. He chose you and me on his one-way journey to Calvary. Friends, if you can't celebrate anything in your life, celebrate today. Because it is the day that Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem for our salvation. And that's something to be glorified in. Today we celebrate the joy of our Savior riding into town. He came humbly on a donkey. Hollywood would tell you it's a Savior on a white horse galloping into town, but not Jesus. He simply strolls into town on the back of a donkey. This morning we read from John 14. It is perhaps the most famous I am statement Jesus ever made. In fact, you know, when we started our first Bible study, we had about 60 people coming at the time, or 60 or so. Then it kind of dwindled back to about 40. And then now we have 90 and 40, 50 coming. And it's been a very steady thing over the past 3 years. But in that very study, we studied a book entitled 52 Weeks with Jesus. And the author took us through every I am statement Jesus ever had. And this is probably perhaps one of the most powerful statements Jesus makes. He says, I am the way. He declares himself to be the way. I am the way. You know, as I reflected on this message and built this message for a sermon, I began to think, well, you can't get any more powerful words than that coming from Jesus. Except one other thing. Instead of being a four-word statement, I am the way, he also says, I love you. And thus, I am the way. This statement, this I am the way, this statement raises blood pressure all over the world. I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know if my statistics are exact, but approximately 25 to 30% of the world's population professes to be Christian. That means you and I are the minority in the world. So this statement that is debated all the time, in fact, we've debated it in this very building in Bible study, this statement debated all the time throughout the world, is so powerful that it comes from the minority and it speaks to the majority and its perspective is direct. But it doesn't matter what it says. In fact, it really doesn't matter because you and I didn't say it. This man who shared this unapologetic statement with the world is our friend who we know to be our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He made the statement, we didn't. All our responsibility is to do is to accept it and live in it and be a part of it with Him. Our job, your job, my job, as disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, is to share this information with the world, to teach this information to the world, to preach it, and to live it. To do so, you and I, simply have to prevent ourselves and others from not following my Father's advice in downtown Stanton and taking a side street. Thus, your message this morning is entitled, Lead On, Shepherd. Lead on. Friends, our faith is that simple. We believe in this statement wholeheartedly, absolute truth. All we have to do is follow in His footsteps. Believe in Him, and He will take us to the Father. One of the most dominant worldviews today is that our religion can get us to God. Just simply being religious. Believing in a God, you're going to make it. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know if any of you have seen the second version of Karate Kid, but in the beginning of the movie, the first movie, he champions and wins this big match, and then the beginning of the second movie, they're still at the match in the parking lot, and the two senseis, Mr. Miyagi, as you well know, and Daniel, the karate specialist, the kid that he raised basically from his single family home and his mom, he's raising him up and teaching him all these cool things, and he's teaching him to fight karate and do all this great stuff. In the parking lot, the movie starts with the one sensei on his knees, and if Mr. Miyagi strikes him, he's going to kill him. And he goes to strike him because the guys, they're fighting for to the death. And in the end of this movie, Daniel does the same thing with another character. And he says, he goes to strike him in the parking lot, and when he gets to him, he grabs a hold to his nose and he says, "Nah," meaning, "I'm not going to kill you. It's not going to happen today. It's going to be my way." Well, that's kind of how I feel about this statement. It's kind of how I feel about this dominant view of the world. If I'm religious, I'm professing God, I'm good with God. Well, it's how I feel about that. "Nah, ain't going to happen." That's not what Christ said in the Bible. Here's my question to that perspective or that thought. Explain to me how Jesus is needed anyway in the world if that's the truth. If you and I just be professing God and we believe it and we're religious, we call ourselves religious, why did Jesus even come? Why celebrate Christmas? Why are we here today? Why do we come to church? Why do we do any of that? What's the need? If just being faithful gets us to God, why did the Father send His Son to a horrible executional death for nothing if we believe that? Here's what I'll tell you, friends. Religion isn't your salvation. Just because you believe in God and you can profess a faith, that doesn't mean you're saved. The only way you're going to be saved is through Christ Jesus our Lord. The only way. One day a pastor took a friend from his church and he took him to a boxing match. They both loved to watch boxing. So they went, and just before the match, one of the boxers kind of knelt down in his corner and, you know, did the cross motion across his chest and looked up and professed his faith in God. The fellow that the preacher took to the boxing match looked over and said, "What's all that about? What do you do that for?" And the preacher said, "I ain't sure, but," he said, "it really don't matter if you don't know how to box." Well, what's he saying? What's the preacher saying? In short, you can claim all the religion you want, but friends, if you are not on the street of Jesus, if you're not following Christ Himself, as my dad would say, you've taken the wrong direction. Because the gospel is clear. I am the way. And the only way to the Father is through me. There is no debate. I'm sure this statement will get some pushback, because it already has in class. But I believe there are good people out there. And a lot of people, they also want to profess another thought process or ideology that, you know, "I do good work, I'm a good person, and I'm right with God. I believe in God, I do good work, I give a tithe or two, or I go out and I'll help a friend or two. I'm a good person." And they believe that that's their righteousness gets them to heaven. That's not true either. Their good work alone won't get them to heaven. Friends, life doesn't qualify us to be highway engineers because we do good work or we can actually do the work of building a road. In fact, I'm 52 years my birthday. In my lifetime, time in and time again, I've seen it. I've lived it. I've been a part of it. I'm the man last Sunday standing before you with mistakes. So I know I'm right. And my righteousness, even as good as I try to be, isn't going to get me there. I have learned time in and time again That when we go our own way, when we build our own road, and we put Jesus second, we screw up every single time. Our personal righteousness isn't enough. Our religion isn't enough. We need to stay on the highway that was built by the perfect engineer. We need to stay on the highway that was paid for by Him. It's a one-way street. It's called the street of Jesus. In this passage, Jesus also said, "The only way to the Father is through me." So friends, if we believe the I am statement, but we don't believe the second part of that statement, well, all is lost. We must believe this one as well. In doing so, this means not all roads lead to our salvation. Not all religions lead to salvation. Not even our righteousness and our goodness, as good as we are, leads to our salvation. And the reason why the reason that this is the sample or the reason for this thought process, for me at least, is this. You see, between God and mankind, there lies this barrier. We cannot go under it. We cannot go over it. We cannot go around it. We cannot go through it. We cannot swim it. We cannot walk it. We cannot do anything with it. And that barrier is sin. And the reason we can't do anything with it, that sin is between you, me, and God, the perfect God. And the reason we can't do anything with it is because we live in it. We're immersed in it. And we fall victim to it. We fall victim to it. And the only way around it, over it, under it, or through it is through Christ Himself. That's why He came, friends. That's why today is important. That's why we celebrate His entrance into Jerusalem, ever so humble. In the police academy where I trained and I still work sometimes, I heard these words from an instructor when I was young. He said, "Boys, your job's dangerous. Know this. When the call comes in, be prepared for anything. You generally don't get called to someone's house because the cat's up the tree. That's a fireman's job." Wow. Well, you know, I didn't really understand that statement for my 30-some year career until I began to love Jesus Christ. And here's what I'll tell you. When I heard that statement, I thought it was derogatory to all my friends in fire service, but it really wasn't. Not when you look through it with the eyes of a believer. Not when you see it from a different perspective. Not when you understand what it means to love like Jesus, to see through Jesus' eyes. It wasn't a derogatory statement at all. It wasn't a dig at my friends in the fire service at all. What it says is, policemen don't carry ladders. Firemen do. We couldn't get up the tree if we tried. But the firemen can because they have the right tools. It's a work in progress. We do it together. I've said in this, behind this pulpit and in this ministry, we are better together because we bring all kinds of goodness with us and talent. On this Palm Sunday, friends, as we celebrate Christ Jesus, celebrate your relationship with Him. He has come to town on a one-way street today for me and for you. If we want to see heaven and face our perfect God, you and I better get in touch with the Savior who built the road, who paid for the road. We better get in touch with the Savior who can get us through that barrier of sin, who can lift us up out of the barrier of sin that we live in today. The fact is, the simple fact is, Jesus is the only way to the Father. And apart from Him, as good as we may be, we're not going to make it. And that's what He's sharing with us in Scripture. Jesus didn't say to each one of us, hey, come on, do your best to keep up, and I'll try to get you to heaven. He told you, I am the way, and the only way to the Father is through me. And I'll close with this statement. Over the past several months, within the last 6 months, I've helped out a friend or two, and I was asked a question not long ago. Why do you do what you do? My answer to that person was, well, that's just who we are. I wished I had the opportunity to answer that question again, especially after studying for this sermon and preparing for your message today. Because here's what I would tell them. So why do you do what you do? But before I give you my answer, why do you do what you do? Why do you work in nonprofit ministries and serve the general public? Why do you come to church? Why do you spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ every chance you get? Why do you serve the church in any capacity? Why do you give and tithe? Why do you do what you do? The answer is not because that's what we do. The answer is, it's because it's what He does. It's what Jesus Christ does. And we are His followers and His disciples. And He is the way. And only through Him will we get out of this pool of sin that we live in and serve together yet again in eternity. So the answer is, it's because of what Jesus does, not what we do. Lead on, Good Shepherd. Lead on. Amen.